Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR, Decatur, Dallas, Fort Worth, and 91.3 KYJC, Commerce.
Portions of KDKR programming do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or staff.
Prudent Money with Bob Brooks is sponsored by the Prudent Money Foundation on 91.3.
So is it possible to oversave? Today we're going to take a look. Stay tuned for Prudent Money. Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. Well, if you got a question for me, I have an answer for you. All you have to do is go check out the resources at prudentmoney.com. Once you get to the website, there is a Q&A portion of the website to ask Bob. We've talked about it for a long, long time. That's there for you to send an email in and to send your question in. Now, sometimes the question is a little bit more detailed, a little bit more moving parts are going on, and we need to dissect it a little bit and talk and have a few more minutes rather than exchanging the email. So you can sign up for a time on my calendar. We'll give you a call, talk it through, and then hopefully that will get your question answered. But there's two good resources there for you. That's off the website, www.prudentmoney.com. Now, as I spoke about in the introduction, is it possible to oversave? Now, you may think about saving from the standpoint of, I wish I could do more, I'm not doing enough. Definitely don't have the problem of oversaving. But when I talk about oversaving, I'm talking about, are you using your savings dollars and allocating your savings dollars to the right place? Or are you just saying, I got to max out my 401k, I got to max out my 401k, I got to put back this amount of money, the most amount of money, that's the number one main goal. That, my friends, might be oversaving. It's not about where you're putting the money, it's about how you're allocating the money. And this is what we're going to talk about amongst four other reasons why you might just want to question the logic behind using a 401k plan. Is it the best vehicle to prepare yourself for retirement? Now, the pop culture finance community might say that's blasphemy. Of course, the 401k is the crown jewel. It's the place to go. It's the place to invest your money. It is the centerfold of your retirement plan. That may be, and of course that would that what I'm talking about today requires you to think out of the box. What pop culture finance, which I call the financial media, mainly Wall Street, the financial services business, all of the companies and resources that add up together to advise you on making money. They live in the world of absolute truths. They live in the world of, if you will do this, this, and this, you'll always get this. So in other words, 2 + 2 always equals 4. But you see, in my world, 2 + 1 or 2 + 2, or let's say it this way, 2 + 2 may equal 4, and sometimes it may equal 5. Sometimes it just won't make sense. You got to think out of the box. So there's not, absolute truths don't exist except for one. There are no absolute truths. So I guess you'd have to say there is one absolute truth, that there are no absolute truths. There's only opinions about how to go about doing things. And you've got to learn, I believe, as a steward of what God has given to you, it's important to learn and understand how money works, how these beliefs are constructed, and do you believe the same way, or do you believe differently? You know, we talk a lot about what, in fact, I was with a dearest old friend last week, and we were talking about something. He said, what do you call that? And I said, oh, it's belief renting. I said, I haven't really talked about that in a while, but belief renting is, if you were to listen to me and I told you that A + B always equaled C, and you we had a rapport, a trust through the radio and listener relationship, and you trusted what I covered on my program. Never really doubted, never really challenged anything that I said, which is not always good, by the way. And you decide that, well, I'm going to think and believe the same way as Bob. It's called belief renting. So if someone came to you and said, say that I said on the radio one day that XYZ stock was the way to go. That's where you're going to make a bundle of money. And I have no idea if there's an XYZ stock, by the way. This is just an example. Make sure everybody catches that. And I say, this is where you can make a bundle of money. This is where you should invest your money. Of course, I'm never going to give advice for the radio like that. But anyway, just kind of keep it real. You may go and you may think to yourself, well, if XYZ is the place to go, then I'm going to believe the same way. But if someone came to you and said, why do you want to invest in XYZ stock? And you say, well, I don't know, Bob said it was a great investment. You don't have any idea as to what are the fundamentals. You have no idea as to why it's a good idea. You just are just taking my word and you're renting my beliefs. It's so very important to own your beliefs about how money works. And I believe that is a very, very strong principle when it comes to stewardship. So I'm going to go to my contrarian side, which is to look at the other side of the story, which we'll talk about that here in a minute as well, and talk about why you might consider a 401k as maybe a part of your retirement plan and not the part of the retirement plan. So let's talk a little bit about this. Oversaving, as I discussed, as I said at the beginning, oversaving is not what you might think. And number two, you might also think that it's impossible to oversave. You can never save enough. Oversaving is not about the amount that you're saving. It's about where you're saving, where you're allocating the money. You know, we've been taught from day one by our parents that 401k plans are the way to go. You should do everything possible to max it out. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, maxing out a 401k plan today is a good bit of, if you're doing it, is a good bit of money that you're setting aside. And you just kind of assume you graduate from college or you graduate from high school, you get your first real job of significance, and you get a 401k plan and you're taught, just max it out. Put that money back, because if you do so, by the time you're 55 or 60, you'll be able to retire. Everything will be great. And there you go. And that matches, of course, what you were told growing up. So it's this reinforcement is that's what you are doing. But I would suggest this, that you might be oversaving, especially if you are maxing out your 401k plan and putting every dollar that you possibly can into it. You just might be oversaving. Once again, for every dollar that you put into the 401k plan, you remove out of personal goals and deposit into future goals. Let me read that again. For every dollar that you put into the 401k plan, you remove out of personal and present goals and deposit into future goals. What that means is that for every dollar you put into the 401k plan, it is committed in most cases. Of course, unless you borrow money out of your 401k plan, which I wouldn't do as anything but the absolute last resort. And then if you take money out, take the early penalty hits and pay taxes on it, I wouldn't necessarily do that either. But that's the only way that you can get to money you've just tied up for the future. What is going to cover your current savings goals? Maybe a new car, maybe a wedding, a down payment for a house. Have you considered what your current goals are? And are you, in some of that money that you're putting over to the 401k plan, maybe that needs to be shifted to some of these more current goals, financial goals that you've not considered? Because that is how debt gets created when we don't have money for the short term. We always generally have to either go to the credit card, borrow, whatever, to meet that demand that you have on your cash flow. So it's really, what are you sacrificing today for the future? And so what I would, this of course goes with my advice always. Like I say, I don't always give advice in the program, mainly when we're talking about investments. But I do give advice when it comes to financial planning. And I think this applies to everybody, and that is, it's so very important to make sure that you have an easy to set up financial plan that covers from point A to point B, and make sure that it covers all your goals. So let's say that you're putting $23,000 back into your 401k plan. And let's say that you work out a plan, and it shows that you have a deficit for your current savings goals that are outside of retirement. And so it would require you not to put $23,000 into your 401k, but maybe it only required $15,000. And if you put the rest of it into a short-term savings plan to cover maybe it's for a wedding or something that's coming that you know is 5 years off, and if you start saving today that you'll get it. Then, and you also know that if you still save $15,000, and if you skip 5 years of maxing it out, that when you resume and you max it out for another 10 years, that you're gonna hit your retirement goals anyway. So it's all about planning. It's all about making sure that you have everything covered instead of just blindly maxing out for the future at the expense of present goals and things that you're trying to achieve with money. I'll tell you this too, is that the obsession with maxing out for a future goal can really take a toll on personal relationships. I'll never forget this story about someone that I knew a long time ago, and he was obsessed with saving money, obsessed with maxing out his 401k plan, to the point that it was affecting his marriage and affecting the quality of his marriage and the quality of his life. He was so obsessed with it and wasn't thinking about anything in the present time, but everything was out in the future. His wife, who had really kind of been harboring resentment for years about this savings, that we'll call it savings obsession, ended up going to their bank account, cashing everything out, and going and leaving this friend of mine, divorcing him. So a balance of what you're saving your money for and a balance of how you're using your money is so extremely important. Number two, savings for the long term at the expense of the short term. I tell you what we're going to do. We'll come back to that because I've got a break coming up, and we'll stick around. So stick around. This is Bob Brooks. I'll be right back. Hello, this is Bob Brooks. Proverbs 22:3 and Proverbs 27:12 are the exact same verse word for word. I call them the stewardship verses of risk. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. On the Prudent Money Radio Show, we teach about risk, how to identify it, how to figure it out, and what to do about it. We believe that to be a prudent steward, you have to be a good risk manager. Listen to the Prudent Money Radio Show on Bible School Radio 91.3. Prudent Money, home of the modern day steward movement.
In Acts, God told the Apostle Peter in a vision that he could eat all the foods that had been previously forbidden under Jewish law. And God instructed Peter to share the gospel with a Gentile named Cornelius. Why so specific? Wednesday on Focal Point, Pastor Martha Barres explains what Peter's strange vision means for us today. Find out when you join us Wednesday for Focal Point.
Focal Point, weekday mornings at 8:30, here on Bible School Radio, KDKR.
What are two of the biggest factors to a new believer growing successfully in their walk with God? Pastor Greg Laurie says it's spending time in God's Word and spending time learning directly from a believer who's older in the faith. That's what we'll be discussing this week on A New Beginning, lessons on walking more closely with God.
A New Beginning, weekday mornings at 7:30. here on KDKR.
Welcome back. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. We're talking about reasons why you might want to reconsider the amount of money that you are putting into your 401k plan, from maxing it out to maybe even nothing. We'll talk about the reasons why you might want to reconsider how you're using your 401k later. We'll get to that. But I have six things I want you to consider. I'm on number two. The first one was oversaving. The second one is saving for the long term at the expense of the short term. Once again, saving for the long term at the expense of the short term. And it's a little bit of an extension of the first one, oversaving, but specifically talks to emergency funds. I'm a very big advocate of emergency funds. I think they're important to have established, have fully funded. There's a lot of opinions as to what an emergency fund should look like. I would suggest that you have it kind of broken up into two or three main parts. The first one being, how much money would you want to fund if you got laid off? How much income would you want to fund? Would you want to be there? Maybe you'd want about five months of living expenses, 4 months of living expenses, whatever you're comfortable with, and you project out to be the best amount of money for you. Second is, what about a major car repair? How much money are you going to be set back for that? Or maybe a home repair. So maybe that's $5,000 or $3,000. Then finally, another major goal, emergency funding goal that we don't consider sometimes is medical expenses. Do you have enough to cover the deductible for your family? Up to that if something, worst case scenario, happened. So these are some of the things that you want to consider. But just think about not having an emergency fund and maxing out your 401k plan. So you're putting all these dollars away for the future, which you can't even touch, more than likely, or not without some serious pros and cons you'd have to consider if you did that. But let's just say that it's for the long term, and you don't have your short term taken care of. So I always advise to figure out some way to either do a balance of putting money back for the short term and the long term, or maybe, or if your 401k plan has a match, maybe you invest up to the match and you put the rest of it into a savings account. But somehow that savings account at the very first part of your financial life, when you're out on your own, is important. And it's important to emphasize sometimes the short term over the long term, and maybe delay putting money back into that 401k, of course, unless you've got a match and you don't want to leave free money on the table, which we'll talk about that, which is a great segue into the third point, no match. I got to tell you something, that if you've got a 401k plan, I'll just say this for myself, not for you, for myself. If I had a 401k plan and there was no match, I would strongly consider whether I wanted to invest in that 401k plan at all, or really reduce the amount, because I think that there's better options outside of a 401k plan as far as investment options, which we'll talk about here in just a second. So the match is the big reason why you want to put money into a 401k plan. It's free money. The employer matches you dollar for dollar that you put in, up to a certain percent, or 50 cents on the dollar, whatever it is. I would at least, as you figure out your goals, as you allocate money, I would at least put enough money back to cover the match. I mean, I think that is critical to do. And if your plan has no match, I would think real long and hard whether or not this was a good enough spot, which leads me to number four, investment choices. This is a very big weakness of some 401k plans, is they don't have very good investment vehicles. They'll have the lifetime funds and the target date funds, which you target date funds are probably the best example of that. It's a fund that you invest into based on your retirement year, and you put your money back into it over, say, a 15, 20, 25 year time period that your retirement would be in, you say, in 25 years. And as you move towards that goal, supposedly, as they're supposed to reduce the risk of your portfolio for you bringing the risk down and bring you right up into retirement with the appropriate risk. I'm not a big fan of target date funds or lifetime funds is what they're called. I think they take too much risk. I don't necessarily agree with them, but that's for up to you to decide. The problem though I do have with the investment choices of most 401k plans is that they don't allow you, it only gives you limited diversification. It gives you bonds and stocks, and that's pretty much it. Whereas if you invested outside of a 401k plan, you would have the ability to invest in a lot of other different types of investments. So just keep that in mind. Investment choices are a very, very big deal. If you are investing into a 401k plan, I would, if they have index funds in there, in other words, if they have a stock index fund like the S&P 500 and a bond index fund that covered just bonds and maybe another fund that covered short-term bonds, then you'd really have enough to use diversification-wise. If they had a bunch of actively managed funds that didn't necessarily represent an index fund, that's where I would think twice, because they may not be the best choice, be the best choice for you. So investment choices, very, very important that you have good ones in there. Number five, changing plans. This is kind of a small one, but let's say that you're in a 401k plan, that you got a good system, you have a great way of investing money, and you find out that they are switching the company that's going to be hosting the 401k plan, and you find out that what the company is shifting to does not really fit your needs. That can happen too, and what will end up happening is as long as you're at that company, you are in a situation or you can't move the money you've already saved in your 401k plan, so you're kind of stuck with the plan that they've moved to. So that is also probably not as high a percentage of probability of happening, but it can happen. Then there's the lost 401k plan. I can't tell you how many times that I've had meetings with current clients or potential clients, and they talk about, I have some money in an 401k plan. I don't know what it's doing. And left that job 5 years ago, and you have no idea what's going on with it. Whatever the reason is, it's so easy to leave a job because you have so many other things to think about, and you leave that job. Maybe you're laid off. Maybe you do it intentionally, and you just forget about the 401k plan. It's something you'll get to later. Then all of a sudden, later becomes 3 years, 5 years. And your plan is just sitting out there. You always want to take it with you. Always want to take it with you. Now, let's talk a little bit about how you approach this process and how you make decisions. And I refer to it as critical contrarian thinking. You should always be able to ask the question when someone presents you with an absolute truth about money, that you, if they present you with 401k plan, you should always invest into it. It's the best vehicle. It's a no-brainer. In your mind, and the question that you want to answer is, what if it isn't? What if it isn't the best place to put my money? What if it isn't the best use of stewardship, is good stewardship? You will never go wrong asking those questions. It's so very important because that helps you, as you go and search for those answers, it helps you balance yourself and own your beliefs, as we talked about. Very, very important. And something that you always want to consider when it comes to dealing with money. You know, it's interesting having been an advisor for 32 years, I see a lot of things and a lot of agendas and a lot of the money magazines in the world and pop culture finance, and they're determined to make you believe that money is an easy thing to deal with. And you know, and I know that it's not that necessarily that easy to deal with. There's planning, there's decision making that goes along with it. But if you will follow these two or three principles of pop culture finance, you're going to be in great shape. You're going to retire. And the problem is, if you're following the wrong strategy or following the wrong principle or whatever plan, that, and it's flawed, you're not going to find out until way on down the road, when you could have wasted a lot of time. So critical contrarian thinking, what if it isn't? Learn to ask that question and learn to take that information, figure out what makes the most sense, pray about it, and find what your beliefs are and own them. It's just great stewardship. Now, tomorrow is Wednesday. Dan Pilla is going to be on talking about the IRS. And then the next day, we're going to finish up and talk about if you don't do a 401k plan, what can you do? We'll talk about that as well. This is Bob Brooks. If you got a question for me, please go to the website at prudentmoney.com and send it in, because we are all out of time. Till we do meet again next time, keep the faith and have a great rest of the day.
That's all the time we have for today. Questions or comments for Bob, or to find out more great information like what you've just heard, visit www.prudentmoney.com. Be sure to join Bob Brooks again for the next edition of Prudent Money.